Hey guys, welcome back to the Blood and Black Run podcast. I'm Ryan from ColdSplitation.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Martin.
How's it going?
Doing okay. We're coming back, and we did fulfill the obligations that we set forth in our previous episode. Sometimes it's tough to do that, especially considering it was a movie that was playing in theaters. And sometimes with our theater, small local theater, not a chain, I don't know if it's actually going to get some of the movies that are coming to theaters, or at least get it opening weekend. Sometimes it's questionable whether we're actually going to be able to get it here. So, luckily, we did. They did have it opening weekend. We went to the movie theater, and we were the only people in the movie theater. Granted, this was a Monday afternoon matinee. It was like 4 o'clock and on a Monday.
4:05
start time, like a fucking baseball game. But luckily, we were able to catch it. Saw it in theaters by ourselves, so we were able to just, you know, do a fucking MST3K on there. Pull out all the quips. And get the episode done.
There too.
Yep, my wife is there. She went to see it as well. If you don't recall, my wife did appear on one episode. This is for the historians that have stuck with Blood and Black Rum podcast through all these years. We're on, what, year 8 right now? And, yeah, back in the day, she appeared on one episode. Give her billing there. I think she's on the Vacation remake episode, where we watched the Vacation remake, and she appeared, and we had a round table, which we don't normally have. It's normally just the two of us on here. So, if you're interested, go and check that out. I think that was, like, in 2015 or something like that. Something.
It's also the only episode that we've done at my house.
That is true. Yeah, that's right. We are in your old house, huddled in your room with the microphone around us, sitting like in the circle. It's an early day in the Blood and Black Rum podcast. There's also another episode that we did where we did it outside. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was with Wes Craven.
Yep, that was the Wes Craven retrospective. Yep. Yeah, we did that one outside. Yeah, we had a few different types of episodes on here. We did one video game episode, TV show episode. I mean, I guess the Santa Clauses is technically TV as well, but we treated it like its own miniseries or something.
I totally forgot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so what we're talking about today is, of course, the esteemed horror franchise that has been sweeping the movie theaters of late, with Nicolas Cage's Renfield. We're talking about Renfield today. No, I'm just kidding. I did do a TikTok video, though, and I was talking about this movie that we're covering, and I kind of did a little play on it, and I made it seem like I really didn't like this movie because I thought it was Renfield, and I was confused with the change-up that it was vampires instead of deadites. So I don't know if a lot of people liked it. Got a couple thumbs down on it on YouTube because I don't know if people thought I was like being serious about spoilers or something, because I put in a disclaimer. It's like massive spoilers. There's fucking vampires in this one. I don't know. But anyway, we're talking about Evil Dead Rise today, of course. We've only done Army of Darkness, right?
That's the only one?
It's the only one we've done, yeah, in the franchise, which is kind of surprising. Actually, I recently revisited most of the series During the Halloween season, my wife and I sat down and we watched the first three. So I think we did it like in a row too. We watched The Evil Dead, and then the next day we watched Evil Dead 2, and then after that, Army of Darkness. We didn't visit the remake from, what year was it now? What year was the remake?
We did do it.
You know what? I couldn't remember if we did. 2013, that fucking movie released in.
I know. It feels like just yesterday. It feels just like
where did the time go? Fucking 10 years ago. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I totally forgot that we did that for Remake Halloween. Honestly, I was actually thinking about it, and I was trying to remember. I was like, did we do the remake? I can't remember. Yeah, we didn't. My wife and I didn't watch that one. Watched all the others. And we didn't watch Ashford's Evil Dead. I don't think she's ever seen it. I honestly need to rewatch that one again because I don't remember, especially the third season for some reason. I really don't remember much of that.
I just remember Lucy Lawless.
Sure. I remember Lucy Lawless. Something about the third season for me when I was watching it, like I was watching it when it aired, and I just don't really remember like taking it all in. So I need to revisit it at some point because I really don't understand. I don't know everything that went on in that show. So I need to go back and check it out again. Yeah, we've seen them all. We've seen all the, I mean.
Oh, yeah, don't they? Doesn't it start off in, they're down in, like, Jacksonville?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's, God, it's such a fucking blur.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to remember.
That whole, I did like it quite a bit, the show, but it's just such a fucking blur.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too, but it was really fun when it was airing, because
that's season 3-2, where they went down to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like you said, it's all kind of a blur. I can't remember exactly the details of it. It was really fun to watch when it was coming out, though, because it was, like, something to get excited about. You know, it was kind of like a weekly thing, very fun. I really enjoyed when that was airing. And I was disappointed to hear that it was going to be stopping. But, yeah, so we got Evil Dead Rise this year, and it's been in the making for a while. It's been talked about for a while that this was coming, that they were revitalizing the Evil Dead genre, or the Evil Dead series, I mean, franchise. And the one thing that I did know about it, because I tried to really stay away from any indications of what it was going to be about or anything like that. One thing I did know about it was that it was not going to be from Sam Raimi in any like directorial sense. He's a producer on it. So is Bruce Campbell. But that's pretty much the extent of his involvement with the movie. You know, it's not directed by him, wasn't written by him. It's not really a story from him. He might have helped with maybe some of the direction on it or, you know, some guidance. But for the most part, this is Lee Cronin's baby. And Lee Cronin wrote and directed this movie. And if I'm not super familiar with him, I know he had a couple of movies in the past that he did. But I really am not that. I've never seen anything that he's done. So it was kind of a surprise to see what he had to offer for the Evil Dead franchise. And for the most part, I stayed away from any trailers or anything like that. I really didn't want to see too much about the movie, which I normally do anyway. I don't know if you do that as well, if you try to stay away from trailers for movies that you're kind of interested in.
Yeah, I'd really, at this point in my life, for anything, games,
yeah,
movies, TV series, I just kind of
I feel like avoid. Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like with trailers now, there's so much, there's an art to trailers, and certainly they do sometimes show you the best of what's going to be offered in that movie.
No, not even. They went from, like, this, which I miss when we do a film from the 70s, of telling the whole plot out for you in 3 minutes to a 45-second vignette of, like, one, take 80s pop song, two, turn it into you know, Hans Zimmer-esque, you know, sound. So, like, this is a movie about killer cheerleaders. So, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You blew my mind. Oh, Mickey,
And then also literal interpretations of the lyrics. So like, if it's a horror movie, you might see like somebody gets his head blown off.
You blow my mind.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I feel like the art of trailers now is kind of, I'm kind of past it. Like, I feel like most of the time trailers do not interest me, actually. They kind of actually do the opposite of what they're meant to do. They kind of turn me off of a movie. So I find that if I don't watch the trailer, maybe I'm more interested to go see that movie. But that said, I don't really think that I had many expectations for Evil Dead Rise at all. I wasn't really thinking that it was going to be great. I wasn't thinking it was going to be terrible. I really didn't have much thought about it. And I kind of just, you know, obviously had some interest in seeing the movie because I liked the franchise, but I didn't really expect much at all. So coming into it, no real big expectations or anything like that. I don't know about you, but I just, you know, I was kind of like really tepid about the whole thing.
Well, it almost feels like this film, somebody at New Line realized, like, hey, we haven't done, it's been 10 years since we did the remake.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just, like, dusting off the old Necronomicon.
Sure.
What if we did
a lot of the dust? Yeah. Yeah, no, I can agree with that. Like, because it's kind of like, hey, guys, why do we have these expensive rights to Evil Dead if we're not going to do anything with it, you know? I feel like that's kind of the case with a lot of these movies now where they kind of trot them out. They're like, you guys forget about this franchise? Well, we happen to have the rights laying around and just thought we'd commission a script from somebody who really had no business writing a script for it. You know, we just asked them like, hey, can you maybe reuse your script that you wrote for something completely different and like just work it into this franchise a little bit? Like, that's what they did with Hellraiser. The like Hellraiser 5 and 6 movies are not even Hellraiser movies. They were written for some other purpose, and then they were like, yeah, we'll produce this, but you got to make it a Hellraiser movie because we have the rights to that property and we're going to use them. So it does seem like sometimes they do that. And with Evil Dead Rise, I guess I won't say. We'll get into it when we get into it. I don't want to set the precedent right now for what we're going to talk about. However, I think that it's probably time. We've chatted enough. I don't have any more things to add here. So let's move on to the beer break, and I'm going to actually have a little clip that I'll play right before we go into the beer break. So give me 1 second, I'll cue that up. Let's see if anybody thinks this clip's a little better than the previous transitions that we've had.
This is my boomstick.
There. Yeah, that was a little bit better, right?
That's where you should have dubbed over instead of boomstick, beer can.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't put much time or effort into it. I literally just downloaded the clip and I was like, I'm going to throw it into the transitions, and we'll use this one this time. So I was in charge of beer this week, and I picked up one that we had been thinking about getting, and it's kind of been on our list to do, but we just haven't had, like, that opportunity where it seemed like a good idea to, like, have it, and I decided today was that day. So the one we've got was another in Omegang's OMG series, their specialty brand of beers that they've been doing recently. And this one is actually bringing back a beer that they had released previously and, you know, they hadn't been making in a while. So it's bringing this one back. It's called Nomegang. So it uses their name and a clever little play on their name there with gnomes on the can. And I never had the first release of this beer, had you?
No.
As I stopped to take a sip. No, I've never had it. I know, like, I think it was probably, like, a few years ago, right? Probably, like, 6 years ago they were making this beer. I kind of remember it at a beer fest or something like that where it was available. I remember our buddy was trying to get it. And he pronounced the name wrong, and the guy was pretty explicit about it.
Ah, it's all coming back.
Yeah,
to me
there was like an advertisement or something, and it said Snoma Gang, and so our buddy went up and he asked for the Snoma Gang, and the guy's like, "That's an event." It was just like kind of like flat like that, like very surly, like that's an event. I think you mean the Noma Gang. And yeah, so that just always reminds me of this beer, but I'd never actually had it before. It's a Belgian style blonde ale, and it's I believe a double blonde ale, because it is a very hefty 9.5%.
You save that double talk for your fucking IPAs. If it's up there, it means it's strong.
It's a Belgian strong.
That's right. Yeah.
But I think
a pale strong.
Oh, pale strong.
That's what Beer Advocate says, which God bless that site. I haven't been on there in a decade and a half, but but yeah, it says it's a Belgian pale strong ale.
You know what? To be honest with you, this beer really just tastes like a Belgian style ale to me. Like, no, to me, it doesn't really have a particular feeling of a style to it. And I think that might be, like, with a blonde ale, you kind of think of it as being a little bit more on the light side, a little bit on the thinner side. And for me, this beer, because of its alcohol content, as strong, doesn't really come off as, like, a blonde ale. What do you think? What do you think about that?
No, I agree. And maybe it's because I haven't had a beer in 10 days, but like cracking that open, it smells like
over here.
It smelled like ethanol.
Yeah.
And which is never really a good sign, because, I mean, if you want, like, you know, you don't really want your high alcohol beers to smell like, you know, smell like the octane they're putting out. But when you actually put it to the nose, it doesn't really have that strong of a taste. Like, alcohol-y hint, smell to it. It definitely tastes, I mean, Jesus Christ, definitely smells short-circuiting over here. It definitely smells like a Belgian gold pale ale, which is great. It's definitely...
It smells like when you get out at the brewery, you know, and you smell that, like, just permeating scent of the brewery when you're on campus. That's what it smells like to me, basically.
Yeah, no, this is really good, because it's got everything that, like, if you were having, like, a, you know, like a Saison or... You know, they're wet. It's definitely got all those traditional Belgian notes there. The coriander, allspice. Little brightiness to it, you know. Light fruitiness to it, gives it a little juiciness. It reminds me a lot of, like, their old Belgian pale ale, which we both loved and were incredibly sad when they got rid of it. But just hopped up to, like, to 10 because it's a strong, you know, they practically made 10%, which is fine. And it does give, like, a nice warming feeling to you, like you're drinking, like, you know, some bourbon or brandy. But that alcohol, for me, is a little too prominent, a little too strong, you know. It kind of does a disservice to the beer, because it kind of overcompensates for, like, the taste overall.
Kind of overshadows the taste of the others
that you would want when you're, like, if you were just drinking, like, their, you know, the Hennepin or Rare Voss, you know. And I think too, because of that high alcohol content, if they kind of added, like, different notes to it, like because there really isn't any orange zest to it. The, you know, coriander and allspice is very minimal. Like, if you kind of souped that up to go with that high alcohol, it probably balanced the beer out better. Because right now, like, you're getting like, oh, that's a nice Belgian beer, but bam, you're getting like kind of kicked in the chest with that alcohol, and it's like kind of like you're taking a shot, like, whoa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they put this out like during the spring. This to me would be like a great like Belgian winter beer, because it does have that warming effect, like, you know, like, oh, it's cold out and I'm inside and I want to read a book and I want to stay warm. I'm going to drink my fire water of you know, yeah. Belgian.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does, you know, have that feel to it. Nice wintry or rainy day, and you pull this out and just kind of like sipping on that. It's one of my favorite things to do, by the way. Just kind of pull out a heavy sipper and have a relaxing day.
It's like a nice hot toddy, Belgian style.
Absolutely.
But like, yeah, so it's grown on me the more I've kind of worked my way through it, but if you're somebody who like doesn't like a strong, you know, alcoholic taste to it, yeah, you're not really gonna probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I like this one. I think that it's a pretty solid Belgian beer from Amagang. I mean, they always make pretty solid Belgian beers. To me, it doesn't have a lot of defining characteristics to it. It definitely tastes like a Belgian style that they've brewed before. Like you said, some of the additional elements that you would find in some of their other beers, like clove, coriander, orange peel, are not as present in this beer. And so it doesn't have a lot of defining characteristics. But with that said, I think it's a really good beer, especially like you said, with the element of sipping with its 10% nature. I think that's kind of the nice appeal of something like this. I think, you know, the interesting part that's supposed to be sort of defining for this beer too is that it uses Chouf yeast, which came, because this is technically a collaboration with Brasserie de, sorry, hold on, Brasserie de Chouf. They use their, it's a farmstead, and they use their Chouf yeast to brew this, and then they use their own recipe and conditioned with their own yeast for the can. So, you know, it's a collaboration in a sense. I think in some parts, that idea that they use Chouf yeast in this is more like a brewer's detail than anybody that's drinking it, because I don't know that you would just be like, you know, have the super palate to taste it and be like, Chouf yeast in there, you know, as opposed to any other Belgian style yeast that you might find that Amagang uses. I think it's more like a brewer's detail, like, oh, cool, they use Chouf yeast. Like, it doesn't mean much to me, honestly. And I don't know that I can just taste it like being a different type of yeast in here. But with that said, I do agree. I think like the alcohol content may be a little bit high here. I'm not one to, you know, not like, I don't dislike high alcohol content beers just because they have a high alcohol content. I think that if you do a beer correctly, do it right, and it has a high alcohol content, you can kind of get that over on the drinker without having it taste like it has a really high alcohol content. And that's kind of the goal, right? You want it to be a high alcohol content, but kind of, you know, hidden. You don't want people to be bombarded with a taste of alcohol. Even with boozy stuff, even with liquors, like, the goal is not to just be able to taste alcohol. You want to be able to taste the notes of what's in there. So, you know, while it has a high, like, and there's kind of been a specific ask from some drinkers that beers have higher ABVs now. And to me, that honestly, I don't really care. I don't care if it's high, you know, an 8%er, that's fine. I don't care. But I don't care if it's lower either. If it tastes good and it does it well, then I really don't care what the ABV is, because I'm generally not drinking the beer to just be like, getting drunk on this one. I'm generally enjoying it. So I don't really care the alcohol content, but in here it is a little high. You definitely taste it. And that could be a good or bad thing depending on how your palate is for alcohol-based beers.
Yeah, I love what I was saying. I love nothing more than when guys are like, oh, yeah, tried that Voodoo Ranger, pretty good. It's like 8%. And it's like, yeah, you're drinking essentially craft malt liquor at that point. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of those, too, you really taste the alcohol content in. And it, like, does me no, I don't really have an appeal for that. The high ABV, just to have a high ABV. It's kind of lost on me. But anyway, Noma Game, I think it's pretty good.
The can's delightful.
It's great. Fun can.
Going on the shelf.
The only thing about this is, can you imagine yourself going to like a music festival at Omegang and like the beer of choice there is Nomagang? Like, fucking, this is a 4-hour festival. What the fuck? Just to bring Nomagang to me? You know, the fucking 10%er at a beer fest?
Isaac Brock, when he's showing up, you know, with Modest Mouse, is like, that's all I'm drinking.
I know. I've already conditioned myself right now. It was a 4-pack, so we split it 2 and 2. Already conditioned myself. I'm not touching that second one. I'm sticking with this one, because I want to have a good sleep tonight. I don't want to have a fucking hangover sleep. So
now, this is why I wish I went back on the Beer Advocate more often these days, because
they have great reviews, right?
It hasn't fucking changed whatsoever. And like how ridiculous the reviews are. Just like, the smell is wet grass, oranges, cream, lemon, and sweet candy. Earthy note. Yeah, exactly. Clove and mint. It's one user said, I taste green apples, pear.
Oh.
Like,
that's where you comment and just say, like, no.
No, I like, oh, it's this smells like slightly overripe fruit, green apple, pear, and floral aromas. So, listen, you want to know why nobody eats pears these days except my one friend? Because humanity, especially America, has been so oversugared, a pear tastes like nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like you're biting, you're like, oh, there's water in here. Nobody's saying like, oh, it smells and tastes like a nice Anjou Bosque pear.
I agree.
You're trying too hard, bro.
I definitely have that issue with pears. I'm not a pear fan because of that reason, that they're inferior apples. They're waterlogged
like,
apples.
Like if like I can see like again like, you know, in the 1200s, like, oh, what a delightful, you know, treat.
Yeah, cuz that was the only thing you give, that year.
Once you give your kid, you know, like I say, like, once you give your kid, like, chocolate, game's over. Like, you know, like, well, you've
lost.
Or, like, a soda. Like, oh, here's your fucking first Mountain Dew, kid. Well,
I'd love to live in a society where no one had touched any candy and it's just pears all around.
Kids, what do you want for your dessert? A pear! Or, like, you know, figs. I want a fig.
Yeah, there you go.
I want a fig, Daddy.
Oh, no. I always kind of, yeah, when you watch movies that are set in, like, the Middle Ages and
nice. You
do see people, like, they're enjoying fruit. Like, not just, like, oh, I'm eating a fruit because it's around and I know I should eat fruit during the day. But they're, like, literally enjoying having the fruit. It's a nice, you know, specific choice that they've made.
Usually somebody with, like, their foot on, like, a log and they're sitting there, like, you know, taking big bites out of that, like.
I envy that society.
This is from the New World. This thing is called tomato, and it's, you know.
you guys don't have super sour warheads? No, we have pears.
You guys never had a sweet tart before?
I know. That should actually be a thing for, like, a Back to the Future. You like go back in time. Like, you guys don't have super sour warheads? Like, no, but we do have a delicacy. The pear. You should try it. It's great. All right. We gotta get on to Evil Dead Rise here. Talk about the new way. Excuse you. We gotta get on to talking about the newest in the franchise. And I really don't know where to begin with this one. I think I'm gonna begin and just get it out there, because I do been reading, and I think
is it because the poster looks like it's like an Annabelle movie or like one of those, whatever the hell that film series I'm drawing a blank, The Conjuring?
Looks well, like no, I mean, I kind of want to just get it out there, and I kind of want to just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off and say, I think I could speak for you as well, that we were both disappointed with this movie, in general. That it, and that's coming in with, like, for at least for me, no expectations. Like, right, expectations set very low, and that's partially also because the Evil Dead remake is not my favorite in the franchise either. So I don't know about you. Were you the same? Like, low expectations, also coming away disappointed?
I had no expectations because, again, it was like, oh, there's a new Evil Dead movie coming out. Why is there a new Evil Dead movie coming out?
Yeah, why?
What's, again?
No association with Bruce Campbell besides, you know, the obvious producer's credit and stuff.
It doesn't even have to be like a Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell project. Again, like, just because, like, the franchise has been dormant theatrically for a decade now, it's kind of like, well, so what's the point? Like, is this supposed to be a sequel? Is it supposed to be its own thing? Is it supposed to be a remake? Well, like, and again, because I didn't look into anything, it's like, why is this coming out?
Is there a different universe at play here?
And like,
yeah.
Like, you know.
I think the question, too, is, are we meant to take this as a continuation of the Evil Dead remake? Because in some ways it does feel like it. And I think, I mean, I would say that it feels more like an Evil Dead, the remake film, like a sequel to that, than the original Evil Dead. For me, I don't really find Evil Dead Rise to resemble the Evil Dead franchise that much, honestly. You know, we'll talk about why that is, but for me particularly, I don't really, like, I feel like if you had slapped a totally different, just call this movie High Rise, right? Just call it High Rise, or maybe give Horror High Rise, right? Let's give it a fucking ringing title here. Something from the '80s, right? And you just called it that instead of Evil Dead Rise. Would you have a very different movie than what you have in this movie? Not really. Like, if it had no connection to Evil Dead at all, I don't really think that you would lose or gain anything from it.
It's like, what the fuck movie did we watch not that long ago where it was basically like, well, it's kind of like this franchise in name only. Like, they slapped it on there just because, like, well, if we called it something else, it wasn't going to do well, you know? If anything, this seems like more to me like a Resident Evil movie.
Yep, I could see that. You know, like, probably I would say it's more of a Resident Evil movie than the Resident Evil movies that we got, right? It's actually, like, you know, it's actually a better rendition of the Resident Evil movies. I didn't see the newest one, Welcome to Raccoon City or whatever, but it's a better rendition of those movies than we actually got. So yeah, I think you're right. It like, especially the end of the movie, the final climax where we're fighting a deadite that's been assembled from multiple different deadites, and it's kind of like an amalgamation of all the deadites and the family, basically. It's an amalgamation of family. It looks a lot like something that you would get out of Resident Evil. Like, you know, like one of those, after like Nemesis changes, right? Like into whatever whatever fucking thing he is. That's what it looks like. It doesn't really remind me of a deadite. Doesn't really remind me of Evil Dead. I don't, like, I think that if you slapped any other title on this, and you could even say, like, it's inspired by Evil Dead, something like that, because you got, like, the Book of the Dead. They don't actually call it the Necronomicon in here. They call it, like, a different name. I don't really think that this film resembles the Evil Dead franchise that well. And that's okay. I mean, that's okay if it doesn't necessarily hit the same beats that Evil Dead generally does. But for me, it just doesn't really feel it like an Evil Dead movie. It feels like somebody decided we need to have an Evil Dead movie. This script looks pretty good, kind of resembles an Evil Dead movie. Let's call it Evil Dead Rise. And they went with that. And like I said, that's okay. I'm okay with Evil Dead knockoffs. Actually, one of the best episodes and the new Creepshow TV series pulled from Evil Dead, and it was almost an Evil Dead tie-in. It's okay if they want to tie it in a little bit and, like, you know, be inspired by Evil Dead or almost set it in the same universe or atmosphere. But I just didn't really feel like Evil Dead Rise really hit that note. That's not the reason why I didn't like it that much. Or, I mean, I guess I would say my overall opinion of this movie is that it's fine. It's okay. I don't know if that's true for you as well.
I mean, and the biggest sin this film commits is the fact that it's not even that, like, it's like a half-baked kind of incarnation of the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is, outside of, like, Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell's panache, there's no real stick to, like, to the Evil Dead franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first film is, like, is a, you know, horror film. The second film is half remake, half comedy. Mm-hmm. Third one is medieval fuck around time.
Three Stooges.
You know.
Yeah.
And then the TV show is its own kind of amalgamation of all of Sam Raimi's kind of kookiness. And then the 2013 remake is basically, let's take that mid-2000s to early 2010s, you know, remake style of, we're going to do it, you know, but this time more hostile. Like, we're going to up, you know, the ante on everything and make it dead serious.
The gore, up the gore. You know, that's been the big thing with Evil Dead 2013.
Yeah.
The gore. Which...
So, like, here, I don't know what they were going for, because it doesn't really pull from, like, any of that. If anything, it's just, like, just this weird, like, Conjuring-esque film.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that, you know, the Conjuring-esque nature of it. So, it's kind of like the Nun from Conjuring 2 sort of thing kind of going on here. Yeah, I can see that. I think... like that, my biggest issue, and I'm trying not to just say specifically, like, the reason why I didn't like it is that it's not Evil Dead enough, because that's really not the reason why I came away disappointed with it. I think my biggest disappointment is that this movie often feels like, even though it is brutal, even though it does have a lot of violence to it, it often feels like there's a lot of nothing going on. And that's not because there's no events going on the screen. It's more because of the direction of how the characters proceed with things that happen to them in this movie. It almost feels like things happen to these people, right? Like this family that lives in this high-rise building. Sorry, a high-rise building. It's like 14 stories. But they live in this building. They're on the top floor. And the family, you know, gets hurt and they conjure, you know, the evil dead, the deadites. And they kind of don't react to anything very well. So, like, you'll have things happen. People will get stabbed in the face or, you know, someone's going to get cornered by mother in this. And the rest of the characters kind of just stand there and they're like, what? What's happening? And they don't do anything.
This is so terrible.
Yeah. And they don't, like, it doesn't, it's almost like the impetus of what's going on is lost on these characters. And I feel like that really takes away from this movie and the tension of the movie in a way that it really shouldn't. Because, to be honest with you, I think a lot of the set pieces in this movie are fairly promising. They have promising ideas. The idea of having this set in a high-rise building, I think, is promising. And it doesn't really go in a direction that you think would be the most interesting way that this could proceed. One of my pet peeves of this movie is that we're in a high-rise building and we're stuck on one floor for, like, almost the entire film. Like, why even set it in... Why not just be in a in a like one-story duplex or something. It doesn't matter in this film's case because it doesn't do anything with the setting to make it more interesting. Sticks to one floor.
Whatever happened to predictability? The news with the paperboy and the evening TV. You just, that's what you need when they're like zooming in onto like, you know.
I know. But did you feel that way? Did you think like why are we in a high-rise building? Why do we have all these floors if we're not going to get use out of like deadites actually terrorizing the rest of the building?
I'll tell you why. Money.
Yeah. It's that.
You can tell money is the reason why the scope is. It's like Evil Dead, the play.
Mm-hmm.
Evil Dead.
They blew it all on, you know, 2,000 gallons of blood or whatever. It's gone up in the COVID aftermarket here. Yeah, I mean, that's one of my biggest things. And some people pointed this out. I didn't actually come to this conclusion until I saw some other people say it. But I definitely agree. Evil Dead Rise is like a more tepid, boring Demons 2. And I don't know if you've ever seen Demons 2.
No.
Demons 2 from the 80s. It's a fucking crazy movie, honestly. It like loses its mind. And the Demons franchise is actually very, very similar to Evil Dead in the way that it plays out and things like that. But Bava's Demons 2 is probably way more fun than Evil Dead Rise, and it also takes place in an apartment building. It takes place in a 10-story apartment building that it gets infected with like these demons. I think like it's kind of interesting that, you know, this film just does not use that setting to its advantage, because it is a cool setting. It would be a nice idea to like have multiple families affected by this unleashing of the evil dead, but we don't get that. And for most of the movie, we don't even see other people besides this family. It takes probably a half of the movie, maybe even more. I think it's probably more like an hour to get to a point where there are multiple evil dead, like multiple deadites. And that's just too long. I think that takes way too long to get into that area where we should be having more fun than we are.
It's like, again, it takes itself way too seriously.
Mm.
You're expecting, like, it's like the deadites here are like this weird, like, exorcist, possession, you know, like, you know, I mean, like, your mother sucks cocks in hell, but it's not really like, you know, like it, at least in like the second, you know, an Army of Darkness where, you know, it is played for laughs and stuff. Here it's like, it's supposed to be funny, but everyone's so deadpan, dead serious. It's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really, you know, captivating at all. You're just kind of like, oh, okay.
The seriousness is, I think, what kind of does it into. It's so serious. It plays itself so seriously that you're almost expected to not be having fun. I would say one of the things, like you said, that throughout the Evil Dead franchise is that it doesn't really have a specific atmosphere to it. But at the same time, through the Evil Dead, through Army of Darkness, you're having fun, right? Like, even the Evil Dead, even though it's much more of a horror movie, and I think at times it is actually very frightening, you're still having fun in ways. In Evil Dead Rise, Lee Cronin almost asks you, like, don't have fun. Like, actually don't have fun. Be very serious and just, like, be in this scope of, like, being scared or fearing for the family. And I think that's kind of loses some of the appeal of Evil Dead. Honestly, I think that Alyssa Sutherland as the mother does a really good job, and she does a really good job if this was an entirely different movie, and it was, like you said, more of a Conjuring-esque style movie, might be a really effective portrayal. But as a deadite, I don't really see it that much. I get that it's kind of creepy. You know, she has that sort of ring-esque maneuvering, you know, Japanese-style crawling. For me, I'm personally am not very affected by that crawling. I think it actually looks a little bit silly. It reminds me of like the 2000s a little bit too much, to be honest with you. You know, like blue and green lighting a la the Ring remake and the Grudge and stuff like that. That type of movement just never has really resonated with me. But I think she does a good job at it. It's just not effectively used in this movie.
I would agree.
Okay, yeah. The other thing that really, you know, like it turned me off for this is the opening scene, which I think is okay to a point, but it leans a little bit too far into its own self-seriousness and its gore where it becomes silly.
It's like a fucking video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this.
I mean, one part that I did like is the spooky reading of Wuthering Heights. I think that's actually really a really good moment in this movie. Like, if Lee Cronin had been able to maybe structure this movie a bit differently and really lean into the spookiness of it, I think maybe we could have gotten a different movie. Again, it might not have been an Evil Dead movie, but I think it could have been an okay movie. I shouldn't say okay, because I do think Evil Dead Rise is like just on the cusp of okay. It's again, like I said, it's fine. It's all right. It's like all of those middling, you know, adjectives. But I think that this could have been, it could have been a better movie had we leaned into like that suspensefulness, that creepiness of like a supernatural type story. But the opening scene, I think, really sets the tone for this movie in the wrong direction. And not only that, it is the epitome of a pointless opening, because it's just a sting, right? It's literally a sting that has nothing to do with the next 80 minutes of the movie. Because we go one day earlier, it's really a pointless introduction, because it happens after the events of what we're seeing.
One day earlier. Just cue the SpongeBob guy.
The only good thing that I can say about that opening is I think that the credits themselves, like the actual title card, it's kind of cool. Evil Dead Rise up in the mountains, like literally rising up. You didn't like that? I thought it was pretty cool.
No, because it's like low budget, like Romero knockoff. Like, it does affect. I like the whole credits as they're zooming through the forest.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. Like, you know, because that's usually, you know, that's an Evil Dead thing when someone's about to be possessed or, you know, be, you know, interact with the Deadeye. You got the camera zooming through something like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was pretty cool. But, I mean, that whole, the whole prologue is, I just think, entirely pointless. Didn't fucking need it.
Great.
Been totally excised from the film.
I think it's just supposed to set up that sting, like,
at the end.
Yeah.
Which, like, again, which means nothing, because who are these people? We don't care. Doesn't matter. It's just,
I think it's just
somebody had the idea of, like, what if we rip your scalp off?
Mm-hmm.
Or if we used a drone to, like, chop somebody up. Wouldn't that be cool?
Which it is kind of interesting that I thought of, too, in that opening scene. Like, you know, they kind of parodied the Sam Raimi zoom-in shots of, like, zooming through the woods and stuff. And then made it a drone. Which kind of just goes to show the pioneering of that technique was really cool and is easily, copied now by just having a fucking drone. You know, back in the day, you weren't zooming a drone through the woods and just, like, capturing it on your, you know, fucking 4K drone.
Sam's brother was running around with a 60-pound can.
I just kind of goes to show you, like, the techniques of the day were actually really cool and difficult. And now you can just replicate it on demand, really. No, filmmaking experience needed. Just do it on your drone. So I think we're kind of in the minority here of not really loving Evil Dead Rise. I actually have been doing some looking at how other people felt about this movie to see if I'm like way off base. I don't get though.
Like what is here to be enjoyed?
Yeah,
it's just because like you're like, oh, Lily Sullivan, isn't she just such a pretty Australian?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, I also am not really understanding the appeal, and I'm just wondering, is it just that it has Evil Dead in the title? Is that really like what is drawing people to it, and they're seeing Evil Dead in the title and they're like, okay, I'm in. I'm not really understanding, because to me, this movie, again, if we had excised Evil Dead from the title and you had gone to see this, this is just like any other bog standard generic horror
Netflix
movie.
I say Netflix film. It's a Netflix movie.
To me, maybe a little bit more creative visually with the kills, right? Because this movie is pretty brutal. I will give it that. The violence is there. You know, it has everything that you can think of that would make you squeamish. You know, it has like eye stuff. It has, you know, face and nail stuff. It has vomiting. It has, you know, bugs. All of the stuff. It has dropping pizza on the ground. That's fucking terrifying. And they leave it too. That's the big thing. They leave the pizza. It's like, it's fine. It's fine. It's in a box.
They didn't buy a 2-liter with their pizza. They got 4 separate giant sodas. That
the wrong move there. Yeah.
Fountain sodas. What pizzeria are you going to that sells pizza and then fucking fountain sodas for you to carry out on?
I know.
That's just ridiculous.
That's probably the scariest part. But anyway, it has all of those things that kind of like are buzzwords for being spooked by a movie. And you know, I like violence as much as the next person in my horror movie, but it's, especially for me now getting a little bit older, it's really not a draw for me, because I'm real desensitized. It really doesn't affect me. I'm not really looking for it to be the most violent movie that I've ever seen. Looking for that violence to have an impact in some other fashion than just like, wow, that's a lot of violence. That's a lot of gore. Yes, this movie is brutal. Yes, it can occasionally like be impactful, but I don't really think that this movie has to be ultra violent to be successful, or any movie has to be ultra violent to be successful. It needs to be able to expand on its themes in a way that, or themes or even atmosphere in a way that we've, you know, haven't seen before. And I don't really think that this movie does. Obviously this movie is about a lot about family, right? It's a lot about family, how families can be terrifying in some ways. It's a lot about motherhood. It wears its themes very directly on its sleeve, though. I don't know if you felt like that.
No, it definitely does.
It's like, you know, like...
Also like... No, they...
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, because it really beats you over the head with the fact, hey, Beth is pregnant. Hey, Beth is scared of her pregnancy. There's kids that she has to take care of now. I think, is there even a line at some point that is like, that she's like their caregiver now? I can't remember. But anyway, it really wears its themes on its sleeve. I do enjoy the fact that it has that idea of like families are terrifying, motherhood is terrifying. Even the quite literal putting the whole family together as a three-headed fucking beast that comes at you at the end of the movie is fine, but I don't really think Evil Dead Rise treads any new ground in that regard. And I'm not saying that that's another reason why I don't think it's a successful movie, but I do think that it is, it doesn't have a whole lot to say that it doesn't explicitly tell you in the dialogue. What did you think about the violence in this movie? How did you feel about it?
It's okay. I mean, I wouldn't say it's ultra violent. It's definitely just pretty bog standard for what you would expect in a horror film these days. Nothing too over the top. Nothing overly gruesome and cruel. Didn't find any of it really captivating or interesting. Especially because at the end, when the nemesis monster gets like kicked into the wood chipper, and she's like chainsawing it, and there's blood coming out everywhere. We did that in the remake, so it was kind of like, oh, this time there's just a wood chipper to help along, you know. I none of the violence in the film I found to be appealing or really effective. I just kind of was like, okay, yeah, here we go. It's a thing's happening.
Yeah, and I think this was kind of billed as being like ultra violent too. I mean, I can kind of see in some cases how this would affect certain people, right? Like if you have a thing about eyes, might affect you a little bit. If you have a thing about like stabbings or something, I guess you might be a little impacted. Or there's that cheese grater scene, right? The cheese grater scene actually is kind of cool. I think it's inventive to use a cheese grater because I think it is something that many people have experiences like you accidentally rub, like I know in my personal experience using a cheese grater, I've accidentally rubbed it, like my hand on it when I'm cleaning it, like scrubbing it in the sink, and it does hurt. It is not a fun feeling. Those tines are very ragged. So I think that's an inventive approach. However, this film has like this thing about it's like literally uses the whole fucking kitchen. It's like there, I think there's even like a bashing of a pan at one point. It's like out of a fucking Three Stooges movie, you know, where they hit somebody over the head with a pan and then they use a cheese grater and then, you know, it's got like the whole kitchen involved. I think that the violence is all right. It's certainly, I don't know if it tops the Evil Dead remake in terms of violence. But again, I'm not here for just the violence. I'm here for the Deadites too. And I think that the Deadites are really squandered in this movie. I kind of brought this up a little bit, but the Deadites themselves, we really only get one Deadite for a majority of the film. We get Mother, and then we get, you know, some of the siblings turn into Deadites, but we really don't get an exorbitant amount of Deadites until almost towards the end of the movie, where they're all in the hallway, and then they all start chanting Dead by Dawn, right? Which is obviously reference to the, you know, the Evil Dead franchise. And I would say that my enjoyment of this movie rose when we had more Deadites on screen, especially those that were in the hallway. But they don't even do anything. They all combine into this nemesis form thing, and it makes it a less effective Deadite. So I'm really not sure the evolution of that creature, because it's slower and it can't fit into spaces, and so it's actually a worse Deadite. So I don't really understand why it would do that in the first place. But anyway, I think that this movie lacks Deadites. It really needed more presence, because I'll be honest with you, for a majority of Evil Dead Rise, I was kind of bored. And you really don't want that from your audience. Did you feel that way? Were you like kind of bored throughout?
Absolutely. Like I said, like one of the most damning things you can say about not just any film, but any like piece of art or media is whether it was good or bad. If it's neither and it's just mediocre and there's nothing really to like or hate, that's damning, because you're going to just be bored shitless and be disconnected. I was really disconnected throughout this film because I was bored shitless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I kept asking myself as the film's going on, what's the point? Why are we here? Because right now, again, all it seems like is New Line was like, hey, it's been a while. Gotta dust that off. Gotta make that copyright worthwhile.
Yeah.
Here's a film.
And I mean, I think that, you know, had this been a little bit better paced, maybe had some, again, like a different, a broader setting, really, more apartments, more floors running through the building. One of the things that this film even takes inspiration from is The Shining, which in that movie has a fucking boatload of settings in there. You know, they're
using the whole hotel. The hotel is not just a setting; it's a character.
Exactly, and you know, in naming the movie Evil Dead Rise, literally talking about a high rise building, to not make that building a character is a really lost opportunity for this movie.
Should have just been in Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, right. We haven't even talked about the fact that there's just randomly a Book of the Dead in this high-rise building that has been in the parking garage that has been built over a bank, which has apparently also been a cathedral. Yeah. I don't really understand the idea, because like why the bank vault? Why could they just not have a... Why does it have to be a bank vault? Why couldn't you just have a church? I don't understand the whole idea. But anyway, like, that, again, it's kind of a silly idea, especially considering the fact, like, zoning laws and everything. You just built a parking garage over a church? No one said anything? No one was like, maybe it's a bad idea?
Well, before this happened, there's also the place where Prince Darkness is taking place, so...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But like somehow there's a Book of the Dead that ends up here underneath this parking garage in a church. And in the 20s, they read from the book and they unfortunately recorded it to vinyl. Really bad idea.
Oh, how? Did the Deadites just let them like, "Oh, yes, Father, record your vinyl."
Yes. They went to the pressing plant and asked them to make 30 limited edition Color Swirl copies.
"Ah, yes, I'll let you record your... It was like in the 1840s. "Yes, you can may take your dautograph of me."
And then the other thing, too, is like somebody pointed out that I think is actually pretty clever is like, why didn't the guy who recorded it, like, write on number two, like, "Please, don't fucking play this one. Play number three first," right? Or something like that. Like, how did it get in the order that it is where they didn't, like, say, "I should probably break this one because it's got a recording of me reading from the book."
Not only that, the kid didn't realize to stay away from the book when its binding is a fucking, like, Venus flytrap mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're asking for trouble when you see a book like that. Just
see, that's what you get when you get a fucking fatherless, liberal hellhole of a home in L.A. All these fucking goddamn lefties, commies running about.
you don't know what's what. That's right. And they don't. There's no weapons in the house either. They have to rely on one of the guys from down the hall to have a shotgun.
Well, because it's L.A., that's why. The Deadites survived the blast. They didn't know how to use it.
That's right.
Which, again, like, we've established in previous lore that, you know, regular Deadites you can, you know, take care of. So the fact in this one they're basically invulnerable pieces of shit. Like, what's up with that? You know.
Yeah, this doesn't really use, like, some of the lore from the other movies.
No, I get that, but again, it's Evil Dead, and there's the Necronomicon, and the Deadites, so there's got to be some logic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Or at least you would hope.
Yeah. I guess I'm okay with the book being found there. Like, I don't really have much of an issue with it being there or not. Like, I know some of the other films in the franchise have set out that there could potentially be three books, and this film seems to take from that there are actually three Books of the Dead. They do different things and blah blah blah. So I mean, I'm all right with that as part of the lore, I guess. I kind of don't really find Evil Dead Rise in the canon, but it's just me. What do you think about the neighbors coming in, right? Like all the neighbors, like Gabriel, the guy that lives down the hall and he like does this praying and stuff. And
you mean the guy from Scream?
Basically.
big buff guy from Scream
yeah.
that wants to fuck. Who's also a doofus too.
Yeah. Like, they all just feel like fodder to me. And not only that, but like, they're kind of wasted because we don't really get to see that fodder. It all happens through the fisheye of the hallway door. And honestly, in my opinion, that is a terrible scene of having that all happen in the fisheye. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, it's really disjointed, and it's really like early 2000s, like kind of esque.
Like, yeah, it's like Ghost Ship esque.
Like, we're going to be ultra violent, but it's in this fisheye
yeah.
where it's obscured and you can't really see what's going on. You know, again, that's another damning thing besides the fact that this film's incredibly just mediocre and doesn't really offer anything. It's presented in such a way, like a Netflix, like a direct-to-video film.
Apparently, this almost went direct to streaming. HBO Max, I think.
Well, it should have, because this is...
I agree. I mean,
there's literally no reason for this to be a theater, because this is like watching a direct-to-video film. Like, it's got all, like, the hallmarks, the chintziness, the... You can just tell
It's a particularly dark film, too. I actually found myself having a difficult time making out details sometimes.
Because it was all shot in obscurity to
yeah.
kind of...
hide the seams.
Which, I mean, the one kind of thing I'll kind of say, again, they did a good job there is, there's not, like, a lot of CGI in this.
Not too much, no.
So it's, you know, commendable in that aspect. But again, the whole film comes across as very just chintzy. Just slapshod. They just kind of threw it together just to kind of hit a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, again, like, the violence, I don't think there's anything special. It's...
Yeah. I mean... I think I've said pretty much my piece.
So you're the one that was reading these rave reviews. So what were people saying?
Like, honestly, like
how can you? We're both Evil Dead fans, so I'm having a hard time finding like the connection here. Mm. So like, who are these people who are just enamored with this? Did they skip over Ash versus Evil Dead? So this is the first piece of Evil Dead experience they've had.
I mean, reading their, like, there weren't really reviews, obviously, but they were just, like, you know, opinions that they posted, comments. Most of it, to me, seemed to boil down to the fact that people just thought it was cool. People thought the violence was cool. People thought that the, like, it was affecting for them, like, the cheese grater scene. They generally pointed out particular scenes that were affecting to them, or, you know, they really liked Alyssa Sutherland as the mother, which I agree with in some cases. I think that the cheese grater scene was pretty cool. I think that the, you know, Alyssa Sutherland did a good job choreographing the mother and moving in a specific way. Do I think that's an effective movie for this, what was presented with Evil Dead Rise? Do I think those parts make up for the whole? No, definitely not. I think that it has some cool elements to it. It has some interesting ideas at play. But I don't think overall as a movie, it all comes together in a way that I like that makes me want to go watch it again. It is just overwhelmingly generic to me. And I don't know why some people are actually like the comments for me don't really give me any more indication like what I should be looking for in this movie that I didn't find. Sometimes they talked about the good sound design. Like, okay, yeah, it has good sound design. Does that make a good movie? No. Like, so some of Ennio Morricone's soundtracks are really good. Does that mean that all of his movies that he had soundtracks in were good? Absolutely not. He phoned a lot of those in. So, you know, like, to me, I, you know, reading those comments, I don't really know. I don't really know what we're missing. I don't really know why this had such an impact. Was it just word of mouth? Was it just like excitement? Maybe it's just buzz that really elevated this movie. But for me, And I think that the same happened with Evil Dead 2013 when we saw this too. We kind of came away with that one being like, eh, it was all right. I mean, it was a movie, right? Like it was okay, but like people loved that movie. And I feel like I'm in a similar boat with Evil Dead Rise. It's an okay movie, but it's not.
I see in hindsight though, like the Evil Dead remake has so much more to offer than this.
Oh no, agreed for sure. But I was just saying, like, you know, when we came away from it, I thought it was fine. I wasn't like writing to my mom saying, "Mom, you gotta see this." You know, I feel like I'm in the same boat with Evil Dead Rise. I think it's fine. Like it is. Well, I'll be honest with you. After I saw it that night, is after I texted you and I said, "Wow, that was kind of I'm kind of disappointed about that movie." You know, after that, I stopped thinking about this movie. I haven't thought about this movie at all. And that's probably the most damning thing for me, is that I literally moved on, forgot I saw it. And I haven't thought about it until I had to do this episode tonight. So I don't know. I don't know what is driving people so much to this movie. And, you know, I think it's fine that people like it. That's cool. But I just want to point out the fact, I don't want it to seem like we just don't like this movie because people do like it. I legitimately find that this movie is just subpar in a lot of ways. And I hope we've presented that in a way that makes people understand, like, we're not just, like, trying to shoot down this movie for no other reason than people like it. You know?
I just don't get the appeal at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. There's literally nothing here for me to even. You want to watch the best new Evil Dead film? Watch Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is like, it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't even have to be from Sam Raimi. It doesn't have to have Bruce Campbell in it. There have been movies that have been very on similar wavelengths to Evil Dead that I feel do this better than Evil Dead Rise. And it's not like we're saying like this has to, for it to be Evil Dead, it has to be Sam Raimi. It really doesn't. I don't care. But
there's been good Halloween films without John Carpenter.
That's right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
It's
hard. It's kind of hard now, like with all the buzz and with all the people, all the hype, we're in the minority. I totally understand that. And I don't want this to feel like we're just bashing this movie for no reason. I hope we've set up some particular things that we did not like about this movie that makes sense, that people can maybe think about. And like, maybe it's just the buzz of like opening weekend too. Like maybe people will look back and be like, no, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was.
This film will not have lasting power.
I agree. I don't think it will. Like for me, I don't really need to ever revisit it. I probably will once or twice, like later on in a couple years, and be like,
Be a decade. It'll probably be a decade when the next Evil Dead film.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, wait.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't really see it as canon. I don't really find it to be much relation to the Evil Dead movies. I just don't think I'll revisit it. It doesn't have any staying power. I don't. Honestly, like it's already started to fade from my memory. It just doesn't have any impact on my life. So it's disappointing. Like I wanted to like it. I had no expectations. It's not like I had negative expectations. So I guess we have to rate Evil Dead Rise. So on a scale of 0 to 10 dropped pizzas that they should have eaten, what would you give Evil Dead Rise?
I'll give it a 5. This is a goddamn boring film. It's a very boring, very plotting film. The plot is nonsense. Doesn't really go anywhere. The cold open is pointless just to have a wraparound at the end. And the film is like, as you said, kind of like it's Evil Dead in name only, because you could have named it anything else And it would, you would have been like, oh, that's a okay horror film, whatever. It's got your Evil Dead. It's got the Necronomicon. It's got the Deadites. It's got, like, you know, some of the Deadite playfulness. But overall, like, there's nothing really here that's worth watching. It's dark. The action is not even that good. The violence is not even that good. The plot and the characters overall, like, no one's really bad acting-wise in this film, but nobody's even really a standout, if you ask me. It's just, this whole film just has, like, the hallmarks of something that should either be direct-to-video or direct-to-streaming. Like, something that you'd, like, this should have just popped up randomly on Netflix, like Texas Chainsaw. Sequel that came out last year. I can't recommend this at all. If you like Evil Dead, I can't recommend it because there's nothing really here that's Evil Dead-y outside of the name and some of the stylization of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly dull. It's incredibly pedantic. This is a totally unnecessary film. And it seems like it was just made because the studio said, hey, we're sitting on this fucking title, this franchise. We need to make at least something to get our money. And that's not even anything damning. It's the director and the people in this film. It's just, that's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a shame. Because Ash vs. the Evil Dead was a lot of fun. Sam Raimi with his touches in, you know, the newest Doctor Strange film shows, you know, like what kind of like fun we could have with a new Evil Dead film or something, you know, tied into it. So I'll give it a 5 out of 10. This is a incredibly dull and boring film. And it's going to just be sunken into the ether within 6 months, so. And probably never thought of again until the next one comes out, so.
Yeah. I'm pretty much in agreement. I would give this a 5.5 out of 10. I think that, like I said, it's fine. All these adjectives that I can think of, fine, it's okay, it's mediocre, it's middle of the road, it's, you know, like, even if this had dropped the Evil Dead and it was just called something else, would it be a good movie? Probably not. It would just be just fine, generic. I really don't have anything else that I can say about it besides the fact that it's, like, watchable and, you know, it's okay. It's there's nothing here that I think is too memorable. Didn't come away with it really thinking about it. Again, I probably will forget about it in a day or two after we stop talking about it. It's not a knock, really, to Lee Cronin that much. I mean, I do think the direction here is a little bit lost. It's too slowly paced. The direction of the actors, I'm not sure if it's like the script or the direction itself, but whatever the case, the characters themselves do not react. And that is one of the big problems. They do not react. They don't react to their family members being dead. They don't react to people being in danger. They just do not react. And I think, like, that kind of leads into the boringness of this movie, that you just really, there's no suspense generated. And also, violence does not make a good movie or a suspenseful movie. You know, even if it is violent, even if it is ultra violent, it's still boring. And I think that's the biggest problem. You know, it's just, there was so much potential here to use the high-rise building, to really make use of different floors, multiple deadites. And we just don't get any of that. We get one deadite for a majority of the movie. Then we get a Resident Evil monster that doesn't really feel like it's suited for Evil Dead. I think the coolest thing about this movie, honestly, is the Book of the Dead design. Those are pretty cool drawings. I really enjoy looking through that book. But other than that, I don't really think that this movie is memorable. I don't think it's going to have lasting power. I think it actually is going to do a disservice to the franchise moving forward, even though it is getting a lot of hype right now. I do think that people, like, you know, as it kind of fades away, people are going to look back and they're going to think, like, you know what? It's not as good of a movie as I thought it was. And I hope we're not just in the vocal minority saying that this is not a good movie, because I feel like we've set up some really good reasons why we don't really feel like it is a good movie. And as you said, this could be outside of the Evil Dead franchise and be the same generic movie that it is. It doesn't need that moniker at all. It could be any other type of movie, any supernatural, paranormal, exorcist type movie, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye. And again, it probably wouldn't get the recognition that it's getting with that title slapped on. So, 5.5, extremely mediocre, nothing really that stands out to me, and I probably won't revisit this anytime soon. And that's the worst thing about this movie, is that it's just not memorable. So that's it. That's Evil Dead Rise. I feel bad. I feel bad that we had to bash it like that. Honestly, though, sometimes it's worse to just be very mediocre than to be, like, overall bad, because then at least we can really have some fun. But with Evil Dead Rise being so mediocre, so middle of the road, it's hard to really, like, have fun with it either way. Like, The Lighthouse was a really fun episode because we got to talk about all the things that really made that movie tick. But with Evil Dead Rise, if you compare it...
It smells like onions.
Yeah. With Evil Dead Rise, when you compare it, it's just like there's nothing there to really hone in on.
Well, there was a deadite that spoke in a Boston accent, and he's like, yeah, your fart smell of onions and jizzle.
Well, then there'd be something to talk about, of course.
Then you'd be like, oh!
If Evil Dead Rise had Willem Dafoe, there'd be something to talk about. Unfortunately, we just get a bunch of people that are poorly hiding their Australian accents.
It's the other thing, too. It's like fucking Pete Jackson special. Just all this.
Or their London accents or whatever. I knew so that the younger girl, Cassie, she definitely has an accent. It comes out here and there in this movie. It's not well hidden. She's from London. You can definitely hear it if you listen. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what her accent is because she's trying to hide it and, like, having a, you know, our normal American accent, but she definitely does have an accent.
They all do. They're all from Australia. So maybe this film, like I said, it's like a Pete Jackson special, except that it's not in, they're not a bunch of Kiwis. They're the Aussies.
That's great. So, for the next, I don't know if you had anything in mind for the next episode, or in 2 weeks, not next week, but.
Oh, I did.
What do you got?
I said Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. The other thing, like.
It's about time for Martin's monthly, yearly May conversion into 90s rom-coms.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Cruel Intentions is technically not a rom-com, but still.
The other thing I was thinking of is this is obviously not something we have to do for next week or anything, but on Prime, Amazon Prime, they just released Dead Ringers, and it's actually a TV series, but it's six episodes, so it's like 6 hours long, but it's a remake of the David Cronenberg movie that we just did, Dead Ringers. So I didn't know if you were interested in revisiting that at some point.
Oh, that's the gyno one.
Right, yeah. Which one is that? And in this one, it's actually a woman. Rachel Weisz plays the twins in this one.
You know what? I was also thinking we could do Charmed, all of the seasons of Charmed.
Oh, my God.
Because you were just recently white knighting for Alyssa Milano on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's a little late in the episode, but you should say, how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think it pretty much just boils down to the fact that James Woods is a fucking asshole. And I don't know, he like retweeted one of Alyssa Milano's tweets that she, I don't even know what it was. I honestly don't even remember. It was just something.
No, she said she'd rather fuck a barnyard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Than have sex with a conservative. And then James Woods in his ultra boomer Twitter-ness said experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, again, it's my semi-annual pointing out that James Woods is an asshole. And, yeah.
Well, no, I won't be mad at you because you're like, oh, look at James Woods being a Twitter shit. It's like, no! He's James Ward-renowned Twitter asshole.
Yeah.
That's how he's been branded, and that's you gotta stick to it.
That's right.
Well, I think we should do all the seasons of Charmed because I think after Buffy went under, that was probably the show you were watching the most, right?
I actually never watched Charmed. No. Never seen it. Never seen it. I've never seen an episode. I've seen like a piece of it when it was on TNT. You know, like they'd have it on during the morning. They'd play like 6 episodes of Charmed or something. I've never watched it.
Right after the Adventures of Sir Arthur Conan.
Yeah.
And that's on USA.
Yeah, I'm fine. We could do Embrace of the Vampire with Alyssa Milano. But yeah, I'm fine with Cruel Intentions for next. That's fine. I actually, I don't know if I've ever seen it like in full. Seen parts of it. I've never seen it in full. Ryan Philippe, I know.
Well, you know who else is in that movie?
Sarah Michelle.
Yeah. And you know who else?
Nev. No, not Nev.
Low Rent Nev.
Yeah, Low Rent Nev. That's right.
Selma Blair.
Poor Selma Blair. She has MS.
Yeah, she does.
Sad.
You too. And Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese is there too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine with Cruel Intentions. So we'll do that in 2 weeks. Sounds good. Perfect for Mother's Day. yeah, so.
You still have bad VHS.
So we hope you don't throw tomatoes at us for this episode of Evil Dead Rise. Hope you enjoyed it. Even if you don't agree with us, and let us know if you don't agree with us, of course. Love to hear from you. Love to hear specifics of why you like Evil Dead Rise. You can subscribe to us on pretty much any podcasting app you can think of. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, our home base at Anchor.fm, which is now Spotify. Leave us a nice review. Appreciate that. You can, you know, find us on Facebook or Twitter and message us there. Just search for us on there, Blood and Black Rum Podcast. We are also, we have an email address, bloodandblackrumpodcast@gmail.com, where you can write to us, let us know what you like, what you don't like. If you hated our episode on Evil Dead Rise, any movies you want us to cover, we'll take that into consideration. And also, you can donate to us, our Patreon page or our anchor.fm page. You can donate and we'll put it back towards beer. So we appreciate that. We're going to do Cruel Intentions for our next episode in 2 weeks. We hope you tune in for that. And until then,
take care, because it's a cruel summer.
Cruel summer.